You know, folks, on Tuesday, we check in with a lot of folks as to what's going on locally here through the New Orleans metropolitan area. And obviously, today is no different. And we're joined by the new vice president of economic development and customer service for Entergy New Orleans, Kia Sherman. Kia, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. Thanks for that. I appreciate the time today.
Absolutely. Been talking with folks from Entergy for quite a while now. A lot of new improvements to the grid, a lot of new improvements to certain geographic areas, and I think we're going to talk about one of those this morning.
That's right. We're super excited about what's going to be happening out at the Louisiana International Terminal, which is currently in development. And we want to make sure that New Orleans East benefits from that new terminal. So we've been working on a vision out there with some partners at the city and with our community colleges. And we want to make sure that the residents of New Orleans East and New Orleans are able to take advantage of that economic development opportunity that's going to be arising out there.
So we know that in addition to the LIT, there's some other projects that are going on out there, with a new facilities, sports facilities, arenas, all kinds of different things along that 510 corridor. So tell us, what do we have coming our way?
So you have the Bayou Phoenix property out there, Jazzland Park. There are about nine sites that have been identified as potential sites for logistics. And so those sites will be located along I-510, which kind of branches off of the Port of New Orleans. So the trucking will have to go through that area in order to connect to I-10. So what we've done, and I don't know, have you had a chance to check out our Vimeo video of the whole logistics work? I love that thing. I could watch it over and over. But we're going to have it also on our Facebook and some of our social media after for any of your listeners who would like to take advantage of it and kind of see what we're saying, maybe visual learners like myself. But we have those nine sites, which will be hopefully developed by, you know, companies like Walmart or Amazon, who are going to want to have trucks come to LIT. And then hopefully within about a 30-minute radius, we've been told, is preferable for those companies to unload the trucks and put it in a warehouse and then also send it out on other trucks. And then that process will happen multiple times a day. Those trucks going back to LIT, unloading those containers, and then coming back to the logistics sites, which are located fairly close to LIT. So we want to ensure that the community is prepared. And that's why we're partnering with our community colleges for workforce development and identifying those jobs that'll be needed and the curriculums. So that our people are ready and trained. And so we're also working on doing some of the infrastructure improvements that are going to be needed. So that's our current focus right now.
And the infrastructure improvements, I know that y'all have been replacing major sections of the grid, making it easier to go in the aftermath of whether it's a thunderstorm or a hurricane or otherwise. In the design phase of, I guess, making sure that it's a lot easier to get the power back on. And I guess it's because of the frequency of times that y'all are out there, right?
Right. In addition to our grid improvements, though, we're also partnering with NORA on an Economic Development Administration grant that would fund a road that will branch off of I-510 that will directly connect our trucks to the logistics sites. So that's the infrastructure that we are currently focused on trying to seek funding for and identify other grants as well.
And that allows you to be unimpeded, right, in your response and what you're doing and possibly pre-staging of vehicles and the like and equipment, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, ideally, this is going to allow the flow of trucking from LIT so that it will branch off of I-510 and go directly into, you know, the Jazzland property. We have a couple of other Jenkins-Nora property. These sites are all being developed that for hopefully logistics and warehouse purposes. So we're just trying to facilitate that overall vision and plan.
It's got to be really exciting to see some of the this design work and what people are thinking about that the LIT will actually support as it relates to new business, right? I mean, we've not there are not many times in our lifetime that we get to see this kind of transformational type of project unfolding right in front of our eyes.
I can't even tell you how excited I am to be in this position right now, because I see so much potential out in New Orleans East right now between the Port of New Orleans LIT terminal coming online, also what's happening at NASA, at MISHU, you know, with Artemis 2 and Artemis 3. And the property around there, you know, we'll come back hopefully and chat about that another time, but there's so much potential. And we have our Mayor Marino, who is really focused on New Orleans East and ensuring that area is able to take advantage of these economic opportunities as well. I mean, everyone's on board.
What I like about it is that you guys, as the infrastructure players, have been brought in early onset. Historically, that's not always happened, has it?
No. I think, you know, we have a really great working group of entities and partners that are all necessary to make this a success and to help bring this vision to fruition. And so we are one of those partners and are necessary, and we're really doing our best also to be very collaborative with all the other partners, because I think everybody needs to be at the table early on for this to be a success. And you know, you can just look at what's happened in Savannah and Mobile and Charleston and see the potential if we do things right. So, you know, I couldn't be more happy to be a part of this at this juncture.
So talk to us about, obviously, this will not only impact the 510 corridor, but in other areas of New Orleans East as well, right? I mean, I'm hearing some incredible stories about, as we move further east down the I-10, the opportunity for development as well.
Right. I mean, you know how economic development works. I mean, something might start off in one area. Like if you think about what's happened at Elmwood, you know, with its warehousing, I think back in like the 70s, and what it has mm-hmm. become today with all of the retail that's happened, it spurs further development and investment, right? So what we're doing here right now is the beginning of something bigger, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's gonna. I love the momentum. I can feel the momentum, and I think I was talking to some folks out in the East the other day. Well, actually, it was a little bit over a month ago. They're feeling the momentum, which is great. I haven't heard that in a long time.
I love that.
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys are hearing it too, which is good, because
absolutely.
You know, when it's like this void and it's just crickets out there for a while, you know, it's good to hear that we're thinking about that area of the city out there, and it's had difficult times since Katrina. Let's be honest. I mean, it is what it is, and you know, but it doesn't seem like a whole lot of people are crying over spilt milk, that they're all focusing on the future and coming together and collaborating, which is great news for all of us.
Right. Well, this vision is coming together with the residents of New Orleans East. You know, we're having neighborhood association meetings and taking in feedback, incorporating that into our overall vision. So this is a project that we're developing with them.
Got a question here. It's kind of interesting. You know, every conversation, this comes on a text line, every conversation enters two letters, an A and an I. It can't seem to avoid them. Are there folks talking about locating any kind of facility, faculties there or otherwise?
Yeah, we've had conversations with some of those larger logistics companies, like I just mentioned, Walmart, Amazon's, you know, we go to conferences and have those early conversations with them. So this is on their radars. But again, we have to do some work to prepare for them. And that includes those infrastructure upgrades that I mentioned, the road that we need to build so that we can connect those properties to I-510 real easily, and also kind of, you know, relieve some of the congestion that might be there. So we're doing that work. We're also going to be working on some land use issues and regulations with the city to make this more streamlined for those companies and more attractive for them to come in.
Yeah. And the beauty of all of that is, you know, we are collecting more taxes, creating more jobs,
absolutely,
turning those dollars. Every dollar that's paid turns over at least seven times in the local micro community. And those are good times. Every time you can turn those dollars over, those are good, positive things that happen in an area.
Absolutely.
And it's really exciting to hear that everybody is, for now at least, and hopefully we're able to keep it together throughout the entire project, singing off the same sheet of music. Kia Sherman, the new Vice President of Economic Development and Customer Service for Entergy New Orleans, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Truly appreciate it, and have a great week.
Thank you, Noel. You as well. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we come back, we're going to visit with Greg Reggio. We're going to talk about the oyster crawl. I'm hungry already. It's going to take place Thursday evening, and we'll talk about all the particulars there. And when we return, stay with us. Folks, Thursday night is the oyster crawl, and here joining us to talk about it is my personal guide for oyster crawl, Greg Reggio. Welcome to the
show,
Greg.
Well, that's quite the introduction. I didn't know you had a personal guide, but you know, they don't move very fast, but they do move around. We've got, this is fun. This is the third, it's the annual Oyster Not Noah. It's happened three times, but over 2 years. Don't quite understand that, but that doesn't make a difference. When you got something as delicious as Louisiana oysters, you want to have them as often as you can. We've got over 90 restaurants that are participating. They're across the metro area, featuring wild caught and something that you may have never heard of before, something called off bottom oysters. Have you ever heard that term before? Off bottom?
Hey, I am a big fan of the Grand Isle Jewels.
Well, there you go. Well, off bottom. The first time I heard that, I thought, hey, they're growing oysters without the bottom shell? That's a lot easier to shuck. But that's not what they meant. What they do is they grow these oysters inside of the water column. They are delicious, but they're just as good as some of the finest oysters in the world. They'll compete with what they're doing in France and all those other places. But we do our oysters here wild, and we get them off bottom. We'll be featuring those all over. You go to oysternight.org. You'll get a list of all the restaurants, plus a map, interactive map. You can make your own crawl if you like, but if you want to do it the easy way, that's what I'm here today to talk about. It is the P&J Oyster Mid-City Number 1 Oyster Crawl. There is no Mid-City Number 2. This is a proof of concept. So this is the official exclusive oyster crawl of Oyster Night 2026. This is going to happen Thursday night from 4:45, probably go to about 8 o'clock, but we'll go as long as people are slurping. Very exclusive event we're doing. Limited spots are available. Let me tell you who our lineup is. From Rosedale Restaurant by Susan Spicer. She's doing a Bloody Mary oyster shooter and oyster eggplant au gratin. My restaurant, we're going to do P&J Wild Caught Raw Oyster Bar. That'll be the raw oysters with a couple toppings on that. Our sweet and spicy sesame oysters, Oysters Amadine. And when the thing's all over with, we're going to end up back at my restaurant to do a champagne dessert finale. Parkway Bakery is doing two oyster po' boys. One is their barbecue oyster po' boy. The second one's called the Baby Maker po' boy. Oh, it's fried oysters, bacon, remoulade, and cheddar cheese. Oh, my goodness.
Ooh,
my buddy Scott Craig from Katie's is there. He's doing crispy fried oysters on a taco with house pickled slaw and a spunky sweet and sour cream drizzle. We got also a newcomer. Have you been to the Bell British Pub? Have you been over there yet and seen that place?
I have
heard,
not.
Heard about that? Cool place.
I have
there,
not.
Join us. He's going to do broiled local oysters, wild oysters, topped with shallot butter and a smoked English Westcombe cheddar. How's that for an English episode, huh? And we're going to do all this from Nicole's Limousine. My buddy Mike Nicole's providing us with limo buses from Nicole's Limousine. They're going to take us from spot to spot so we can do this all responsibly. We've got wine by RNDC, espresso martinis by Grind Espresso, also shot liqueur. It's going to be a great time. We'll have an open bar at each restaurant that we go to, but we'll have wine on the buses. Got to pay for it in advance. If you are interested, call me. My personal cell phone number, 504-931-GREG. That's 504-931-4734. Put that up on your blog. It's $200 a person. That's a heck of a deal. Taxes included, but not the shells. We're not going to have any oyster shells in our oysters. They're going to be perfectly shucked. It's going to be unbelievable. How you doing otherwise there, brother?
Well, I'm doing great. That sounds like an incredible night. I am so bummed. I have a conflict, so I couldn't join you guys until 6 o'clock, but I might be able to catch up with you guys. And meet you along the route for sure. But this is all for a great cause, right? I mean, this is great. So let's talk about that.
Let's do it. Well, you ask who benefits. Number one, who benefits are the diners, without a doubt. They are going to get the best benefit. Number two, the restaurants. The restaurants are getting ready to go into the slowest time of the year. We know how tough it is in summertime in New Orleans, so the restaurants are going to benefit. Next up are the fishers and the fisher community. The folks, have you ever harvested oysters before? Have you ever done that before?
No.
It's tough work, okay? So the fishers themselves, they are benefiting, and their community benefits by the trickle-down effect. But number four, and this is a biggie, the coastline. We like to say, eat an oyster, save the coast. With programs through like this, with Recycle and Restore, tons of oyster shells make their way down back to where they were born, back to their homes, and they become homes for many more. So this is such a great program. So many folks, so many people do well, but the oysters themselves keep to replenish. This is the most worthy cause I think I've served on all year long. And it is just starting, brother.
Absolutely. So what is that website again?
You go to oysternight.org. Oysternight.org. You can find out about the organization. You can see all the restaurants. You won't find there, for some reason, they don't have the crawl up there that we're doing, because I can see my phone is buzzing right now. It's going to sell out. It's very exclusive. There's only like 40 spots available, and I was more than halfway sold out before I called you, but I wanted to talk about this event. So if you want to reach,
I can tell you my audience is going to sell it out right away.
All right.
It'll be sold out in the next 10 minutes. I can promise you that.
You remember my number? What's my number? 504-931-4734. That's right.
And by the way, folks, he's the greatest tour guide ever. He should have been a comedian. He does stand-up comedy. He does it all. And he prepares food second to none. You'll have a great time. And I know his posse. His posse is funny as the day's long.
Well, they're funny looking. They got funny haircuts. Their bellies are getting big. No, you've always been such a great supporter.
They're getting old too. The posse's getting old, my friend.
I need new friends is what I need. Look, thank you so much for helping me promote this. You've always been such a friend to the industry. Hopefully you can hook up with us. I'll have my cell phone on. You call me and I'll tell you exactly where
I am going to give you. I am going to give you a shout. I'm going to be presenting, just so you know, at the Greater New Orleans. GNO Inc. One of their programs, and very excited about doing that. Getting to talk to some very young cohorts that are participating with experiential learning that evening. So I'm looking forward to that. Great program. In fact, Michael and I will be talking about that some tomorrow.
Love Michael.
But best of luck.
Michael.
All of this part of your kind of chef's brigade umbrella organization, right? Oyster Night. You can just go to oysternight.com, NewOrleansOysterNight.com or .org,
I think it's just oysternight.com. oysternight.org.
That's it. Oysternight.org.
Oysternight.org. That's what they've told me. Google it and you'll find it. It's the only oyster.
Oh, I'm on it.
It's Thursday night. Alrighty.
I am right there. It tells you everything. All the participating restaurants. Over 90 restaurants participating this year, folks. So you want to check it out. The list is there. There's a restaurant in every neighborhood in New Orleans that's participating, which is wonderful.
You got that right.
We wish you the best, Greg Reggio with the Oyster Crawl. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great Thursday night.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Breaking news, the Senate just confirmed Kevin Warsh's nomination to a 14-year term on the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors, teeing up a final vote to make the central bank, for him to be confirmed as the central bank's next chair. The vote was 51-45, right along party lines, with one exception, John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, the only Democrat to vote in favor of the former Fed governor and Wall Street banker's nomination to the board. The Senate is expected to confirm Warsh's nomination to lead the Fed for a four-year term, which will probably happen tomorrow. I've had a lot of people ask me to opine about what's going on with the clerk's office in the city of New Orleans. This is the typical tug of war, right? The consolidation of this, I think, is constitutionally sound. I don't think there's an issue there at all. I believe that there may have been an interpretation of what's going on by the city to suggest that there's a new office that's being created, which may be a reasonable interpretation. I don't really know. I don't know the intent of all the players. There are some facts that are kind of interesting. I have talked to a number of legislators about their intentions, and their intentions were to collapse one office into the other office, is what I've been told. The district attorney, Jason Williams, issued a letter to both the council and the mayor saying that his interpretation is that this is going to create all kinds of downstream problems because of some vague references in language and quotes some constitutional provisions, leaves some out that are very interesting to the overall conversation. I don't know who's right. I don't know who's wrong. I know that the courts will ultimately end up deciding this, and I think it's going to be decided in favor of the state, not in favor of the city. And the reason I believe that is, as I said before, I believe that their actions are constitutionally sound. Now, whether or not you are pro Calvin Duncan or against Calvin Duncan is of no moment. We can certainly question the intentions of some. My own belief is that Calvin Duncan was duly elected and should take office. And, and we figure this out, whether it's at the end of his term or otherwise. I don't like the timing of this, quite frankly. I didn't embrace Mr. Duncan's thought process about whether or not he was exonerated. I don't believe that. I think that's a stretch. And that he's innocent, I should say. I don't believe that. I think that's a stretch. And it's not what the law says, in my view. But be that as it may, he served. He did his time. I have a lot of folks that, people encourage me to make negative comments about people that served their time, paid their debt to society. They have been restored their rights. It's up to the public. And that's kind of where I fall on the issue. But it's not like this is a virgin issue. This issue's been talked about a lot as it relates to this consolidation. And so much so, even in the language in the Constitution, it even kind of provides for this to be done. It does provide for this to be done by an act of the state legislature. But I thought it'd be interesting for you to hear the letter that the attorney general wrote to the council and the mayor laying this out. I have received a copy, dear Chairman Morrell and members of the council, I have received a copy of a letter dated May 7th to the New Orleans City Council from Orleans District Attorney Jason Williams urging the council to call a special meeting and appoint an interim clerk. It is my understanding that the mayor has now made a similar request and that the council plans to have a special meeting as early as Monday, May 11th, which they did yesterday, and they named an interim clerk. The district attorney's analysis and the mayor's, to the extent that she has adopted his analysis, is plainly wrong. It is not only legally misguided, but irresponsible. He has provided a partial explanation of the law and, importantly, left out the most important parts. Acting upon this advice will create the very uncertainty he incorrectly claims now exists. In short, the instability district attorney describes does not now exist, but the council will create instability and generate further litigation if it follows his advice. Moreover, if the council engages in ultra vires acts, which are acts against public policy, folks, and attempts to install an interim clerk and additionally to call an illegal election, I will certainly be required to act pursuant to Louisiana Revised Statute 4276 to prevent the council and its purported appointee from interfering with the lawful office holder exercise of her duties. I am prepared to carry out my duties to ensure the continued functioning of the clerk's office. She's referring to Civil District Court Chelsea Richard Napoleon, saying that she is actually the clerk. The letter continues, the legislature did not create a new office for which there is no incumbent. To the contrary, the legislature in 2026, Louisiana Acts 15, eliminated one, the criminal clerk, and consolidated those duties into the other clerk's office, then renamed that office. Specifically, the act abolishes the office of the clerk of criminal district court for the parish of Orleans at the end of May 3, 2026, and before the term of any other criminal clerk of court begins. Act 15, subsection 4. At that point, the abolished office of the criminal clerk's authority, functions, duty, and responsibilities, along with its records, money, actions, and property, transfer to the Orleans Parish Civil District Court clerk, who shall thereafter be referred to as the clerk of court for the parish of Orleans. Act 15 and several other reform bills this session are part of a long-running legislative pattern of streamlining Orleans Parish's unusually fragmented court system. HB 607 of the 2013 regular session by Representative Helena Moreno, Louisiana State Legislature, providing for the elimination of two Orleans juvenile court judges. HB 600 of the 2016 regular session by Representative Walt Leger III, Louisiana State Legislature, combining Orleans traffic and municipal courts and eliminating a judgeship. Indeed, this conversation started long ago. It was front and center during the debates at the 1973 Constitutional Convention, where a bargain was struck that permitted the legislature to determine by law whether these exact offices would exist, what duties would be assigned to them, and what the terms of office would be. The Louisiana Constitution expressly vests in the legislature the power to abolish the clerks of civil and criminal district courts in Orleans Parish with a change by law, not a constitutional amendment. I'm adding that. The legislature likewise has the power to transfer those duties to the civil clerk and change the title of that office to reflect one consolidated office. Article 5, Section 32 also forecloses the argument that the law created a new office. Separate from other clerks of court statewide, the Orleans clerks of civil and criminal district courts were continued in the 1974 Constitution only subject to change by law, notwithstanding any other contrary provision of this Constitution. See Davenport v. Hardy. The district attorney is therefore wrong to suggest that the Louisiana Constitution requires a new election. The district attorney's letter also flatly ignores applicable provisions of the state constitution relative to clerks. Article 6, Section 13, from which he quotes, states from the outset that the section applies to vacancies, except as otherwise provided by this constitution. He neglects to cite Article 5, Section 2, which specifically covers Orleans clerks of civil and criminal district courts and makes them expressly subject to change by law. The district attorney therefore selectively omits the actual primary legal point. Whether a vacancy exists is determined by the manner in which the legislature exercises its power. And here, Act 15 does not create a new office. It simply transfers duties from one to the other. No vacancy exists because it did not create a new office. Should the council purport to assign an interim clerk to anyone other than the civil clerk, it will be usurping the office and interfering with her ability to carry out her new duties. The district attorney's advice of the council is irresponsible. He assumes uncertainty where there is in fact none, and further suggests that this fictional uncertainty creates immediate legal risk. He intentionally fails to advise the council that a stay was issued blocking the federal court ruling, and therefore Act 15 is in effect and the business of that office has continued unimpeded. Indeed, because the clerk is part of the judicial branch of government, the Louisiana Supreme Court could act to ensure the integrity of the judicial process is maintained. At this time, nothing has impeded the operations or integrity of the records, the office, or its legitimacy. District Attorney Williams' statement that criminal defendants and their counsel will almost certainly argue that records central to their prosecutions and convictions were maintained by an official exercising authority without constitutional legitimacy invites frivolous litigation that purports to undermine the very cases he prosecutes. The chaos he describes does not exist, yet he invites it into existence. This counsel should not add fuel to this flame by acting upon this flawed legal advice and appointing an interim clerk to a fictional office. I believe the council will obtain legal certainty on this matter shortly. My office will be asking the Louisiana Supreme Court to exercise its plenary supervisory jurisdiction on a case now pending in 19th JDC, which would decide the matter once and for all. As opposed to creating the very chaos the district attorney describes, I would urge this council to exercise restraint while the Louisiana Supreme Court addresses the very legal questions he appears to presume decided. Liz Merle, Attorney General of the State of Louisiana. This will continue to go on. I think we're going to see some performative actions being taken by a whole lot of parties. And hopefully the Louisiana Supreme Court takes this issue up. I suspect that they will, and render a decision in short order so that we're able to move forward and put this issue to rest. What's not fair here, in my view, is that we had a woman, Chelsea Richard, Richard Napoleon, legitimately elected by the voters, and they're doing away with her too. By the city council action, not by the action of the state of Louisiana. So we've put two people out of business as opposed to just one. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back, we're going to visit with Dr. Larissa Littleton Stibe, the chancellor of Delgado Community College, and Jennifer Hernandez, the dean of the nursing school there as well. We'll talk about the impact they're making as it relates to healthcare professionals and the placement of same. And in the back half of the 12 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Emily Stack, executive director of Moms for America Action, about vaping.